We often speak with humor about where we'll finish out our lives, but it's gallows humor. I mean, how many people have said things like, oh, they'll just come and put me in a home? The truth is, most people would rather live in their own homes as long as possible, and there are many programs to help them do that, including Oregon Project Independence. As the independence part suggests, it's about helping senior citizens live in their own homes with assistance. The Oregon Legislature's Emergency Board just gave Project Independence some cash to further its mission, and somebody who's been following the progress of Project Independence over the years is Oregon State Senator Alan Bates, Democrat of Medford. Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Oh, thanks for having me, Jeffrey.
So what is Project Independence? How does it function?
Well, it's part of a web of programs we have in Oregon. You know, I often tell people that there's two things in Oregon that don't get much publicity, but people have come from all over the world to see. One is the bridges on the coast. There are actually some engineering schools in Germany. You have to come and see those bridges and try to figure out how they were built back in the 20s and 30s with no computers. And then we have these wonderful bridges there, but people don't know how they were built, and we still don't know how they built them. The other thing that was built starting in the 1970s and into the 80s was multiple programs for keeping people as they age out of nursing homes and out of hospitals. And the programs have been so successful that people come from all over the world to see it. As an example, we are now closing nursing home beds in this state. We have not built any new ones for about 25 years because even though our population is aged, we have programs to keep people in their homes, in assisted living facilities, in foster homes, and out of nursing homes. And other people from other states and other countries come and say, how are you guys doing in Oregon? One big piece of that is Oregon Project Independence. That is a program where we give aid and assistance to people as they age in their 70s and even in their 90s now at home, so that instead of deteriorating and ending up in nursing homes, we send people into the homes for 2, 3, 4, or 5 hours a day or a week, whatever the need is, to help them bathe and through activities of daily living, make sure they're getting fed, make sure they're living in clean living conditions. And it's amazing how little money up front like that prevents them moving into very expensive settings. A month in a nursing home can cost $5,000 to $10,000 a month, most of which ends up being paid by the state. And for a little investment up front, we give these people a much better life at a much lower cost and much more humane way. So Oregon Project Independence, even though it's not recognized nationally, it's not funded by anything but state dollars, is a huge program that's been very, very successful. In the last session, we made some compromises, what was called the Grand Compromise.
The grand bargain.
And part of that grand bargain was we were going to put a certain amount of money into senior services. And the last part of that promise was kept in the last e-board. Last week when we were up there, ran through my committee, and then we put up the full e-board. But it was a situation where it was promises made, promises kept. And some people think that the legislature can't do that, but in fact we do, okay? And we promised to release that money as it was needed, and we released it last week. And that money will be available through June 1st. And my expectation is we will continue that funding at OPI, Oregon Project Independence, at that level for the next biennium. We think it's a great investment from the point of view of financial investments. But more importantly, it's really important to our elderly population, keeping them in their homes, keeping them in a safe environment, making sure they're taken care of from a health point of view. It's a great program, and other states are looking at and thinking about it.
Will the infusion of cash from the e-board, the emergency board, allow the program to expand any? Because I understand there is a waiting list.
We think it'll eliminate the waiting list. The waiting list was about 250 people in that range, and this will allow us to put on up to as many as 500 more people on it. We expect that list to grow, or people asking for services to grow between now and June 1st. It's expected that we'll be able to maintain the program and offer it to everybody who needs it.
Wow, that's great. So how much time would it take, though, to get the list from 250 down to zero?
It would not be much time. If people are in place, we can hire. We've got really good force of people out there who give home health care. I expect we could probably do that in 4 to 6 weeks, something like that.
Really, that fast?
We can gear it up pretty quick. It's just a matter of getting, you know, saying, okay, we're going to, you know, we got the money now, and people want to go in those homes, meet the people, make sure it's the right match for the person, because you got somebody coming into your home. Make sure it's the right match, and gearing that up and saying we've got the money, we'll pay the hourly wage and get you in there and help these people out.
Oregon State Senator Alan Bates is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Democrat of Medford. We are talking about OPI, Oregon Project Independence, and the infusion of cash that will allow it to reduce its waiting list from 250, it is hoped, to zero. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions or comments about the program. Perhaps you use Oregon Project Independence. Join us at 800-838-3760 around the region, 800-838-3760, by email jx@jeffnet.org. What are the mechanisms then for, I mean, what do people have to have in the way of eligibility to get into Oregon Project Independence, and what are the services delivered?
Eligibility is really based a little bit on income, but not markedly. People of a fairly high income can get into it. It varies a little bit, but there's not a lot of restrictions on it. The idea being if we put restriction on it, we'd have real difficulty with people as they ended up in nursing homes and then spending down all their money, ending up destitute, and the state has to pick them up. So it's pretty open from that point of view. The area agencies on aging are the ones that take
AAA,
care of most.
The AAAs.
And they're in the phone book. People just give them a call. There's Department of Human Services workers you can talk to, but call seniors. If anyone wants to get in and think they need some help, call senior services. Have them get in there. Often, two physicians do this. I have patients, as an example, that I know are getting a little frail, need a little help at home, and we'll get a hold of senior services. They'll go out and do an evaluation, take a look what the needs are, and take care of it from there. They do a great job. But it's pretty easy to do. Once in a while, I run into a sort of an emergency situation where someone needs help right now, and they need it within the next few days. That's a little more difficult. We're looking more for the long-term issues for people.
I haven't asked about the total enrollment in the program. I mean, if the wait list is 250, obviously the numbers of people in the program already are probably many times that.
I don't know the number offhand. I can find out for you. But statewide, it's a pretty good-sized program, so I don't want to quote a number that's wrong.
Do you know a dollar figure for what the program costs over the course of
In a biennium, it varies a little bit, but it runs in the $10 to $15 million range, sometimes a little more, a little less. We've had to cut the program sometimes, and then in the recession, we cut it back at one time to $7 or $8 million. But we realize you make those kind of cuts in the short run, you pay for it in the long run. So building these programs back is really important. And it's kind of, how can I put this? Helping elderly people at the last years of life is probably one of the most important things the state can do. These people are in a situation where most of them have worked hard all their life. Financially, they're under some stress. They want to stay in their homes. They want to live where they've lived their lives, and they want to live their lives out there. And this allows them to do that. I think it's really a humane thing to do, not just from a point of view of financials. It's the right thing to do for people in this situation, and it's very effective. Like I said, people come from all over the United States and from other countries to see, how did you pull this off in Oregon? Because we take care of our elderly people in the state at a fraction of the cost of other places. We don't put them in nursing homes unless we have to. Let them live with dignity and as healthy as they can be in their last years.
You know, you mentioned having patients. I didn't describe up front the fact that you are, in fact, a medical doctor for the folks who might not be familiar with you. You're real big on preventive care, I know. Spending a little money up front keeps you from spending a lot of money on the back end. And is that essentially what we're talking about here? I mean,
absolutely.
Would the differences be much greater to put people into nursing homes?
Absolutely. There are some states where it's either if you can't live at home, you go into a nursing home. And anyone who's visited a nursing home knows that's a very difficult place for people to live. The people run the nursing homes and take care of people. They do the best they can, but they're, for the most part, it's two or three people to a room, and there's all kinds of medical problems. And if someone gets sick, they pass to the next person right away. There's all kinds of issues of not going into a nursing home unless you absolutely have to. Basically, what I'm seeing now, which I think is a healthy thing, is that the only people we see in nursing homes long-term are people with dementia that really cannot be living at home. It's just too dangerous for them. But everybody else is pretty well in foster homes, assisted living facilities, or best yet, at their own home with OPI taking care of them. I think it's a great way to go, and I'm really pretty proud of what Oregon's done. And this is not something that the present legislature did. Some very far-sighted people back in the 1970s and 80s set these programs up, and we've maintained them and improved them. But there were some very innovative things done when nobody was thinking about it back in the 70s, 80s, and we have the opportunity to benefit from their farsightedness and the work they did.
Interesting to think about that creation of the programs in the 70s, because that was a time when the average age in America was much lower than it is right now. Now you got the baby boomers get heading into retirement, and the prospect then for many more people to get into the program.
Absolutely. There were legislators and advocates back in those days that just did a great job, and we kind of take it for granted now. But you move to other parts of the country, it's like not available. And it takes years to build these programs. It's not something you just turn a switch on and takes off. It takes 10, 15 years to build these programs properly, and we've done a great job in this state, something we can be proud of.
State Senator Alan Bates of Medford, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about OPI, Oregon Project Independence. You have a little time to join the conversation at 800-838-3760 around the region, 800-838-3760. Emails go to jx@jeffnet.org, or just check out our Facebook page and get a look at Senator Bates smiling back at you from our screen right there. So if you're putting money in through the emergency board now, and how much was it just this last week?
We put about $1.5 million, if I remember, into it, somewhere in that nature. We also put about the same amount into transportation issues for seniors and disabled people. We released that money to be spent in those two areas. The money for transportation will be sent out to different places like RVTD. And hopefully they'll be able to match that with some federal dollars and leverage more money for that. Transportation is going to be a major issue the next go-around in February up in Salem. We've got some real transportation issues in the state, not only from the point of view of how we drive our cars and what we drive on, but public transportation is suffering. And the failure of the RVTD levy hurt us, too, and we've got to find a way to backfill that if we possibly can.
Yeah, the Rogue Valley Transportation District levy went to defeat in November's election, which means it'll probably have to cut back on its night and Saturday service.
Absolutely.
Which was provided by grant up to this point. Back to the Oregon Project Independence stuff, though. So, I mean, if you're spending money now to help shore up the program and reduce the wait list, are you putting the state on the hook then for a bigger budget number for the next biennium? And given that the governor's already put his proposals out, is there a specific proposal for what will happen to OPI over the next 2 years, given the larger context of all the people who are potentially retiring?
Yes, I think that what we'll find is we have put ourselves on the hook for this, and it's a good hook to be on sometimes. It's a great program. It's a money-saving program. As we already discussed, it's the right thing to do. There's sometimes I like to have that kind of pressure put in the legislature, because it's always easy.
Because you're not in the budget committee.
Oh, no, this is my budget. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a budget I'm responsible for, and we'll be making some cuts there, but this one's going well, and there's some good things going on. I mean, we looked at the rebalance for the Department of Human Services, which this is in, because of the foster care program that was pioneered in this county by Rita Sullivan and others. We have seen a reduction in foster care in the state, and there's money saves there that we can put into other programs now. And that's how we rebalanced the budget, was the Rita Sullivan's program saved so much money in the state, we could put it into other programs like this one. So we're doing some really good things in human services. I think we'll see an improvement as we go along.
Let's take a call from Ann and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Senator Alan Bates.
Thank you, Jeffrey. First of all, I want to thank you because I think you're one of the best interview people on a broadcast.
Thank you.
The topics that you cover and the way that you deal with people, I think, is just supreme.
Well, you're very kind. Thank you.
The other thing is I would like to thank Senator Bates. I've lived in Oregon for 49 years now, and the policies here that he has supported and other people in the legislature, I see Oregon as a pool of sanity in a sea of despair in the United States, that there's so much that's going on that's so much in the wrong direction. And here in Oregon, I hope other states are watching us and following some of the programs and putting them into their own states. It would make it so much better country. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ann.
Nice comment. Really nailed it.
All right, let's go to Jim in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Senator Alan Bates.
Yes, good morning. I wonder if you are familiar with the current situation with the deferred property tax situation. Maybe this is a guy thing, but most of us old guys, if we have a reasonable amount of cash available in an account, we feel a little more emotionally, mentally secure that we can be part of the decision-making on things that are going on in our lives, you know, in our 70s and 80s. Now, that, when that was started, it was 6% simple interest. Then they jumped it to 6% compound interest. Well,
and on what again, Jim? On what
it's the deferred tax program for seniors. Yeah.
All right. So let's get an answer because we're running a little short on time here. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
This is a very complex program that we had to readjust on, and we're trying to rebuild. Basically, what the program does is you can not pay or defer your taxes on your home, so you can stay in your home until you die. Then when the house is sold, those taxes are the first thing being paid. And it takes that tax burden off people. The problem we ran into was when it's a revolving account, and when housing prices dropped and they started selling these houses off, a lot of them were underwater, and so the deferred taxes had to be paid for by the state. With the market having improved again, the account is building in the right direction again. I think what he's talking about, the 6%, and I'll go back and double-check this, is that there's probably a percent charged against those taxes, which increases the amount taken out of the house. And one of the things we have to look at is, I hate this kind of sound kind of cruel, you expect people to live maybe 4, 5, 6, 7 years when they start the program, but people are living longer now, which is good, okay? So maybe they're deferring it for 15 or 20 years. Well, that's a lot of taxes deferred, and you've got to make sure that there's enough equity in the house to pay those taxes when the house is sold at death. So if you put a lot of interest on that, especially compounding interest, which he's talking about, it's not a curve upward. It gets to be a straight curve, straight up at times, and if it goes on long enough, it'll destroy the value of the house. So we'll look at that. I hadn't heard that particular issue, but I'll look into it.
All right. Thanks for that call again, Jim. So lots of issues obviously facing seniors, and I know that you take a great interest in these, and so we expect to hear good things out of the next Oregon legislature. Senator Alan Bates of Medford, thanks for joining us again on the Jefferson Exchange.
Jeffrey, thank you for having me again.